Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Balchapel explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
We all fall short of the glory of God. I don't deserve heaven, but God sent His Son to pay for my sin. I should have suffered on that cross, but Jesus, God's Son, took my place. And when I trust Jesus Christ as Savior, I am justified. And now I can have entrance into heaven, not because I deserve it, but because God is righteous in letting the sinner off because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Balchapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Balchapel with part two of a message called The Faithfulness of God.
And He shows forth the scars of His hands and of the blood that was shed. And He makes mediation for us. And He is our justifier. And we see here that while the world accuses and while Satan accuses, God will forgive. It says in verse 33 that it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again. You see, the scriptures say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yes, we sin, and yes, we fall short of God's glory, but we can have justification because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed. And so this morning, we see the favor of God. The favor of God. He says, I'm for you. We see the forgiveness of God. He says, I know way back when in my foreknowledge I knew that you would be a sinner, but I still died for you. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He said, I've got forgiveness for you. How many of you are thankful for the mercy of God today? Amen. Folks, if we had to get to heaven because of our good works, we'd never go. You see, the Bible says all of our righteousness is like a filthy rag. Have you ever tried to wash your car with a greasy rag? It just never gets it clean. It never works. But oh, Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. And so we have the forgiveness of God. But notice finally this morning, not only the favor of God, not only the forgiveness of God, but I want you to hear about the faithfulness of God today. We serve a faithful God. Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I want you to notice that Jesus is our faithful advocate, that He is making intercession for us, that He is risen again, that He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, that by sitting down He is indicating to us that His work is already done. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross? The last saying of Jesus, He said, it is finished. I want you to understand that and let it settle in your heart, that when He sat down at the right hand of God the Father, He indicates to us that the atoning work for our sin is done. What I want you to understand today is that when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, it is finished. It's not something that has to be done again and again and again. Look at my friend, you don't need to keep going to a confessional booth and telling some man your sin. You don't need to buy your way into heaven. You don't need to work your way into heaven. If you trust Christ as your Savior, it is finished. This man, after he had offered once for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. His blood was the final sacrifice for our sin. And what a blessing to know that. It's not about religion, it's about Jesus. And Jesus is making intercession for us today. My little children, John said, these things write unto you that you sin not. God says, I don't want you to sin. I didn't save you so you could just sin and get forgiveness. But He says, if any man sin, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. How many of you are thankful you can come to the Father and say, come to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord, I want to confess to you my sin. I want to restore fellowship with you. And how many of you are thankful that he's already making intercession for us at that time? He's our advocate, our faithful advocate, but he's also our inseparable comforter. Notice this in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Have you ever had a relationship with someone and you felt a little insecure about where you stood with them? Have you ever wondered, have you ever been maybe like the boy in high school with the daisy? She loves me, she loves me not, she loves me, she loves me not. You're not really sure. The world has a way of creating insecurity. That's why there's so many struggling with anxiety and depression and so many different kinds of opiates that seem to take the edge off of that feeling of not belonging. And the Bible asks a very important question. Can anyone separate us from the love of God? Maybe you've had times like that where the devil even tried to get you to believe that you didn't matter to God, or maybe you weren't really saved. You see, we have an enemy who seeks to separate us from the love and security of Christ. And so the Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of God? And notice the questions. It says here in verse number 35, shall tribulation? I mean, can you have enough trouble in your life that God's not there? And maybe you've created enough trouble in your life that God does not care. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God says, I see the mess that you're in, and I want to comfort you in that time. The first physician to die of the AIDS virus was a British doctor. He was a young Christian. Just about a year before traveling over to Africa, to Zimbabwe, he had accepted Christ as his Savior. He came in contact with the disease, and through his research, he came back to England. They were trying to tend to him. He got to the place where he could not talk. He could hardly move. He kept trying to write something on a piece of paper, and his wife kept trying to understand it. And she would guess, and finally she thought that it was the letter J, and she guessed and tried. And the day came, and she looked at him, and she said, does this mean Jesus? To which he simply pointed up. You see, if you base your faith on a lack of affliction, and if you base your feeling of security on the days when there's no trials, then you'll have a very shallow faith that is always on the brink of extinction, in which you're always wondering whether or not God loves you. God says, let's get the record straight on this. Nothing can separate me from you. If you would tell your child, no matter what, I love you, how much more does God love you? How much more does the one who shed his blood love you? How much more does the one whose spirit has sealed your eternal destiny love you? He said, nothing's going to separate you from me. Nothing, no tribulation, no distress, no anguish of mind or body, no kind of persecution, no nakedness, no peril, no sword. Nothing is going to keep me from loving you and being with you. Years ago, I visited the prison camp in Dachau in Germany, and I had really honestly had read some about Hitler and the atrocities of his regime, but I came to face with it that day, looking at the prison and seeing where hundreds of thousands of Jews had suffered in these camps and millions were killed. Seeing where they slept, seeing where they walked them into certain rooms and said, this is your shower room. Then they turned the gas on. Then they would incinerate their bodies and throw the incinerated remains out into the gardens. It was amazing to me to see the satanic result of that hateful time in world history. But it was there at Dachau that I read about a man by the name of Martin Niemöller. Martin Niemöller was a pastor. He was a courageous German pastor who had tried to help the Jewish people. He had brought them to his home and hidden them. He had nurtured them. He had spoken out against Hitler. He was a courageous man. And for his courage, this pastor was placed in the very same prison where the Jewish people were suffering. He spent years in this concentration camp. He spent years wasting away physically and waiting. Throughout that time, he memorized many scriptures, and there were times when he would have a Bible, it would be found, it would be taken away. While he had a copy, he would memorize and write. And this is what he said in the last days of his life. What did this book mean to me during the long and weary years of solitary confinement in Dachau? The Word of God was simply everything to me. Comfort and strength, guidance and hope, master of my days and companion of my nights. You see, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not a prison camp, not cancer, not divorce. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, who always is seeking you and wanting you and comforting you. We have an enemy who seeks to separate us, but we are more than conquerors in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep to the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I'm here to remind you this morning that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And you may feel lonely, and you may feel ill, and you may wonder what God is doing, but never wonder whether or not God is there. His Spirit is there as your comfort and as your guide, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. The Bible says in verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Here was a man fully persuaded, and some of you need to get fully persuaded that there's a God who loves you, and that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, and that he will walk with you through the fires of this life and the floods of this life. He says nothing can separate us. He says death cannot separate us. Oh, do you understand this morning? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Do you understand that when you came alive in the Spirit, that is an eternal life, that the life of the Spirit is not for this world only, but it's for eternal life, and that death cannot separate us from the love of God. For to me to live is Christ, Paul said, and to die is gain. The angels cannot separate us, speaking here of the fallen angelic beings who followed Lucifer. They cannot separate you from the love of God. Things present, they cannot separate you. Things tomorrow, they cannot separate you. Nor height, nor depth. Jesus came down through the very vastness of his own creation into the form of a man to tell us that height nor depth, the expanse of the universe, cannot separate us from the very love of God. Do you understand this morning? He has promised you, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. And what I want you to have in your mind this morning is that there is a God in heaven who favors you, and he forgives you, and he will be faithful to you. You can trust him. He's there for you. And may we never doubt the wonderful love of our Lord. And may we, who have such a faithful Father, may we this week be a faithful people to him as we live in this Southern California area for his honor and his glory.
You've been listening to the 15-minute edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.